Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Chaf Hei. We begin on the second line from the top, Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, with the following story. Sabe de Nizonia. De Nizonia is the name of a place. Sabe means the rabbis, the elders of that place. And they did not come to shiur. Lo asu lepirkei de Ruchista. They didn't come to the shiur that was given by Ruchista. Ruchista was surprised that they didn't show up. They were tamei de chachamim. So Amalei l'Rav Avnuna, so Ruchista said to his miturgamon, as we'll see, the Ben Yehuda says he was his miturgamon, his assistant in giving the shiur. So he told to Rav Avnuna, zeal tznayinhu, go and find out why they didn't come to the shiur. In other words, if they didn't have a good reason for coming to the shiur, go put them in chayim, Rashi says. And more alehem lehisoger relation with bias. He basically sent them to go and be matzniyah them in their house, to have them hide away in their house. This is a type of excommunication for a talmud chacham, like the Gemara and Mori Katan tells us. So this hesker was basically Rav Chista's telling Rav Avnuna to go find out why they didn't come. If they didn't have a good reason why they didn't come, so then go put them into chayim. So Azal Amaluhu, so Hamnuna went to them and he asked them, "My time Aluasu Rabban Lepirko, why didn't you come to the shiur from Ruchista?" So they answered back, "Amai Nese, what purpose is it for us to come? Because Viboino Mine Milsa, because whenever we ask him a question, Velo Pashatlon, he doesn't give us an answer to our questions." Now, Amaluhu, Rav Hamnuna responds back to them, "What about me? Mi ba'isu minoi mite v'lo pshitna l'chu? Have I ever been asked anything by you and I haven't told you the answer?" Now, this is somewhat problematic because they were telling Rav Hamnuna that Rav Chista doesn't give us answers. And how is Rav Hamnuna saying, "Well, have you ever asked me and I haven't given you the answer?" So there seems to be a disconnect over here. So the Ben Yoyod explains very beautifully that, as I mentioned before, Rav Hamnuna was the miturgamon of Rav Chista. Now, what happened was that these Sabe de Nizunya would frequently ask Rav Chista questions, and Rav Chista, instead of explaining to them the answer, would just give them a yes or no type of an answer. Now, that was normally the way that you would respond to a person who's an Am Haaretz, a person who's not a real Talmud Chacham. You just tell them yes or no. This is kosher, it's not kosher. This is mutter, it's not mutter. This is aser, it's aser. Or not aser. So therefore, they were insulted that Rav Chista considered them amaratzim. But no, it wasn't so bad when he did it in private. Nobody else saw. But if they were to go to the shiur and ask him a question, and Rav Chista would answer them with a simple yes or no, mutter or aser, so then they would be publicly embarrassed because everybody would say, "Oh, Rav Chista doesn't consider them to be tamidei chacham, so he just gave them a yes and no answer without explaining it." So therefore, they were reluctant to come and be publicly embarrassed in the shiur of Rav Chista. So here's where the Ben Yehuda says, Rav Hamnuna comes in and says, "Listen, I'm the miturgamon." In other words, when you ask a question to Rav Chista, I'm the one that responds. So even if Rav Chista responds yes or no, mutter or aser, I will go and tell you much more about it. I will go and give you a much more prolific answer. I will give you a much more detailed answer so you won't be embarrassed. So that's why Rav Hamnuna said to them, "Have you ever asked me anything and I haven't given you a detailed explained answer?" So they said, "Okay, fine." So they asked the following shaila. Eved, and that's why this story is over here now, because it's dealing over here with an Eved Kenani. So we were dealing in yesterday's shiur with the Eved Kenani going out with Shein Va'ayin, or with the Chavdalid Rosh Evarim. So the Tamid Chachamim from Nizunya asked to Rav Hamnuna, "Eved, if you have an Eved Kenani, Shesir Sarabo, whose master by accident caused him to become emasculated, he made him into a saris, debates him by cutting off his testicles. So ma, what's the halacha in this situation? Do we say that the removal of the testicles, that's considered a mum golui, and therefore this would be the equivalent to cutting off the roshei evarim, and therefore the Eved Kenani would go free? So kimum shebegolui domi, and therefore the Eved Kenani would go free if in fact the master was mesaris debates him? Or do we say, oh no, this is considered an internal wound, and this would not be one like the Chavdalid Rosh Yevarim, and in fact the Eved Kenani would not go free?" So that's what they asked Rav Hamnuna, but he didn't know the answer. Lo Adam Yodei. So Amulav, they said to him, "Mashimach, what's your name?" They were poking a little fun at him. He said, "Here, you're going to go answer us all the questions, but you don't know all the answers." So Amulav, he told them, "My name is Hamnuna." He didn't say Rav Hamnuna, he said, "My name is Hamnuna." So they told him, Amulav, they played a little fun at him, and they said, "Lav Hamnuna, you shouldn't have been called Hamnuna, Elo Karnuna. Rather, Karnuna." Rashi explains Karnuna is a not a very nice term. It's a pejorative term. that he's a Yoshev Kranos. Karnuna means he sits in the corners, like a light, like a person who is not a Talmud Chacham, below Baal Torah, and that you're not really Baal Torah. You said your name is Hamnuna, but you're really Karnuna. In other words, you weren't able to tell us the answer. No, Rav Hamnuna doesn't know the answer. He wants to find out what the answer is. He's an Elch Talmud Chacham. Also, coming to Rechista, he goes to Rechista, and Amalei Rechista tells him, you should have told him the following. Masnisa Boy Minoch. They were asking you a question from the Mishnah that could be answered with the following brisa. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah that we learned in a Mishnah in Negayim, it tells us Esrim Yarba Rashi Yevarim Shevi Adam Kulam Ein Mitame Mishum Michya. The 24 Rashi Yevarim that we're dealing over here with the Eved Kenani, one common denominator, one common example between all of them is that they cannot become Tame with a certain type of nega called a michya, a certain type of nega tsaras. And that is because in order for a nega to be able to be declared as a nega by the Kohen, he has to be able to see all of it at once. And these Rashi Evarim, you cannot see them all at once because there's two sides to them. There's this side that you're looking at, and then there's the back side which you cannot see. So therefore, all of these are not metame mishu michya. And what are these Rashi Yevarim? We've been talking about them for a couple of days now. So here in the Mishnah in the Negayim, it tells us what the Rashi Yevarim are. Ve'eluhem, these are the following 24 Rashi Yevarim. Rashi Etzbos, Yodai V'Raglayim, the five fingers on each left and right hand, and the five toes on each left and right foot. So that's 20. Then you have Rashi Osnayim, the two ears. V'Rosh HaChotim, and the tip of the nose. And V'Rosh HaGviya, the male organ. And in a woman, Virashe Dadim Shmisha, the nipples, the area of the extended part of the breast of a woman, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer also Ashabish, also in a man, because he disagrees with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama, as Rashi says, holds that by a man, Abul Beish, Einon Bolton Kokach, the male breast doesn't stick out as much, the Ein Zeshipu, and therefore there is no curvature in a male breast unless they have some condition called gynecomastia where the breast enlarges, but a typical male breast doesn't have that curvature, and therefore you can see it all at once, as opposed to the female breast, which you wouldn't be able to see it all at once. There would be two sides to it, so to say. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds that the male breast is not included in the Rosh Eivar, whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, the male breast would also be have the same din as Rosh Eivar. That's the Mishnah in the Garden. Now, Vitani Yalah, we learn the Brisa that explained this Mishnah, and it said, Bikulam, with all of these Rosh Eivar, the 24 Rosh Eivar we talked about, plus the breast, so Bikulam, Eved Yotzev, Eved L'chairis. So the Baal, the Adon, who knocks this out, who damages any one of these 24 Rashi Yevarim, so then he would cause the Eved to go out to Chayrus. As Rashi says, L'chayrus, the Kulon, im katsitso lo, rabo, mum shebegalihu, veinu choser. All of these have the characteristics we spoke about in yesterday's share, that they are external mumim, and that they won't regenerate, and therefore, if the master were to go and cut off any of them, so the Eved would go free. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. Now, Rebbe Omer, the Nasi, adds, and he says, Av Hasirus. He also includes if the person was made into a Saris, he was emasculated. So if the Eved Kenani is emasculated, that also is included by Rebbe as being Roshe Evarim. The Tanakhama disagreed. And then we have the opinion of Benazai. Benazai Omer, Av Haloshin, he says also the tongue has the status of being here a mum golui, it's an open mum, not an internal, it's an external mum, and it obviously doesn't regenerate, so therefore this would also be included amongst the Rosh Yevarim. So you have three opinions over here, you have the Tanakhama, you have Rebbe, and you have Benazai. Now, it looks like they're specifically in this order, because when we said Rebbe Omer Af Hasirus, it means he agrees with the Tanakhama, and adds on to the Tanakhama's opinion, also a serious and emasculated Eved. And likewise, Ben Azai then seems to be saying, Avaloshim, I agree with the Tanakhama, I agree with you, Rebbe, and I'm also adding on Avaloshim. That's the simple flow of the Gemara. However, we'll see momentarily that, in fact, Rebbe's opinion is the last one over here, and Ben Azai was the middle opinion in terms of the order that they were stated. The shittas that we have here are correct, but Ben Azai's opinion should have actually been second, Avaloshim, and Rebbe's opinion, Av Hasirus, should have been third. We'll explain why this is so in a moment. Bottom line is, now we'll finally get to the answer. The Rav Chisda told Rav Hamnuna, you should have told the Sabe the Mezunya. When they asked you, what is the din if the Eved is emasculated, does the Eved Kenani go free or not? So Rav Chisda now says, Amama, look at this. The Tanakhama holds that the Eved does not go free if he's a Sirus. And Rebbe Omer, Afa Sirus, even if he's a Sirus, he goes free. So what are we talking about over here? Sirus. Sirus the Mai. If we're talking about Ilemo, Sirus the Gid, if you're talking about the male organ, that was cut off. So then, Hainu Gviyah, that's the same thing that the Tanakhama said was Rosh HaGviyah. So therefore, that can't be what Rebbe was talking about. Not talking about that the Gid was cut off, but he must be talking about something else. And what else is there? Elo, Lav, Sirus the Beitzin. He must be talking about about where the testicles were cut off. Ah, this is the machlokes tanoim that they were asking you about. The Sabe Nezunya were asking you, do we pass him like the Tanakama or do we pass him like Rebbe? Rebbe includes the emasculation of the testicles. If you were to cut off the testicles, Rebbe would include that in one of the Rashi of Arm that an Eved Kanani would go out, whereas the Tanakama would say, no, you don't go out for that reason. So therefore, this is what they were asking you. Now, let's understand this Brisa. Now let's go back to this Brisa and explain why I said the order that we have it is not actually the order that was ultimately stated. Rebbe Omer Af HaSirus. Rebbe says, also Af, even the Sirus. So in other words, he's adding on to the Tanakhama's 24/25 Rashi Evarim, the 20 digits, the two ears, the nose, the gid, and the breast. And Rebbe says, also, there's another one, Af HaSirus, also the emasculated cutting off of the testicles of the Eved Kanani would also qualify to have the Eved Kanani go free. Nu, the Gemara says, the Rebbe, Lashon Lo, by the order over here that Ben Azai said after Rebbe, also the Lashon, that implies that Rebbe did not agree if you cut off the tongue that you would go free. So the Gemara now questions, for Rebbe Lashon Lo, does Rebbe really hold that the tongue is not considered an external type of an organ that doesn't regenerate and therefore should be included in the Eved Kanani going out? Rebbe Lashon Lo, Reminu, but we have a Brice that it clearly shows that Rebbe does hold that the Lashon is in fact a Mum Begolui, that doesn't choser, it doesn't regenerate, and therefore should have been included. Because the Braisa says, Hare mi shoya maze, if you're going and sprinkling the mei paraduma on somebody who was tummy tumas meis. We know that in order to be metami somebody who has tummy tumas meis, which we don't have today, nebuch, so you have to go sprinkle the mei chatos, the paraduma water, on the person. This is called hazah on shlishi and shvi, then he would go to the mikvah on, after the second hazah was done on the seventh day, and by nightfall he would become tar. Now, you have to go and sprinkle the mechatus, the paraduma water, on the person's body. So what happens if you only sprinkled it and it got on his mouth? It didn't go on any other part of the body. So Rebbe Omer Hiza, V'chacham Rim Lo Hiza. See, we have a machlokesin, Rebbe and Chacham. Rebbe says that if you go on the mouth, it is considered a valid Hiza. It's considered a valid Hiza. So you can check off that, yes, there was Hiza done on day 3, or there was Hiza done on day 7, because the Hiza reached his piv, his mouth. The Chum disagree and say, no, that's not considered an acceptable hazah. It has to be on the body. Now, what is Rebbe talking about? The Gemara says, my lab alushono, isn't it talking about on the tongue? And that's the machlokas of it between Rebbe and the Chacham. And Rebbe is the one that says that the tongue is considered golui, and that's why the hazah works on it. And the Chacham is the one that say, no, it's an internal organ, and therefore it is not considered a golui type of an organ. So, therefore, isn't that what they're arguing about over here, as to whether the tongue is or is not an internal organ? And you see that Rebbe holds it's an external organ, so why didn't Rebbe also include it in the Rashi Evarim that an Eved Kanani would go out for if the tongue was cut off? So it says, no, because this machlokas in this Braisa is talking about v'nitzah hazo al piv, it means not on the tongue, elo al sefasov, it means on his lips. So Gemara says, really? Al-Sfasav, Pshita, the lips are external. What would be the Chiddush of Rebbe telling us? And why would the Chacham disagree if it goes on the lips? So the Chiddush is, Ma'al Dutema, I would have said that, you know what, sometimes you purse your lips. Zimno decholim sifse, the person closes his lips tightly. As Rashi tells us over here, the word cholim is soger piv b'chazaka. You close your mouth tightly with force. Until your lips are close to each other, and below nishvinu kigoli, and therefore they're not considered revealed, open. They're considered sometimes sealed and not considered external, they're considered internal. Ah, kamash one, that's the Chiddush of Rebbe. Rashi says that the machlokis is actually on the lips and not on the tongue, and therefore Rebbe, in regards to the tongue, disagrees and says, no, the tongue is internal, and that's why Rebbe says, no, if you cut off the tongue, then a person, in fact, doesn't go free. That's not considered one of the Rashi Yevarim, and only Ben Azai says, af haloshem. So far we seem to suggest that Rebbe holds that if you were to go and cut off the tongue, the Eved Kinani would not go free. More questions is, well, Tanya, that doesn't seem to be the case, because we have in the following Braisa, in regards to the Hazah, the Braisa expands and says that if you did the Hazah al Lashono, that Rebbe said, in fact, that is good. So Rebbe, therefore, clearly holds from this other Braisa that Lashono, his tongue, is considered an external organ. So then the question recurs. And why didn't Rebbe say that the Eved Kanani, whose master cut off his tongue, should go free? Furthermore, the old Tanya, we also have another braisa that says the shenital rov haloshon. It says beferish over here if the majority of the tongue is cut off. So the Tanakhava says that that is considered external, and Rebbe just qualifies that by saying, Rebbe Yomer, Rov HaMedaber Shabloshono. It is the part in the human being where the speech comes from. So actually says, Dibur Mas Rov HaMedaber, Yimokom Prishas Dibuko Ulamala, from the place where the tongue is attached to the back of the palate. So in that area, that's, and from there outward, that is called the Mokom Medaber, Kori Medaber. Now, obviously an animal doesn't speak. Avogad the Dibur Behema Lo Shaycha. Even though an animal doesn't have dibur, nevertheless, kari le medaber, we use that borrowed terminology from a person, hold lo medaber, b'loshen adam, that's where a person speaks from. So therefore, in this braisa, Rebbe clearly says that the tongue is an external organ, and therefore, indeed, it would make, in the regard to this braisa, we're talking about a bechor, so if it was missing this part of the tongue, then the bechor would be considered a ba'mum, so too, in regards to the Eved Kenani. This part of the tongue, if it was missing, would be considered a mum, that is golui, and it's lo chozer, and therefore it should be considered Rashi Evarim that the Eved Kenani goes out from. So our question returns, why didn't Rebbe say that, in fact, that this is also, Lashon is also one of the Rashi Evarim? So the Gemara answers the way I explained before. Elo, Rebbe Omer Sirus, Rebbe said that also Sirus, the lomi by a lashon, and you didn't have to tell me the lashon. Of course, the lashon is considered one of the rashi evarim. The chiddush of Rebbe was, you don't have to tell me lashon; you have to tell me sirus, the testicle, if it's sliced off. So then, that also is considered rashi evarim. But the tongue, of course, the tongue is rashi evarim. And it was Ben Azai Omar lashon, and Ben Azai said it's the tongue that is considered an external organ, but not the testicles. Avol sirus lo, and therefore, when Rebbe and Ben Azai both use the lashon of af, it meant akamaisa, or my af, akamaisa. So here we have the Rebbe was going on the statement previous to him, and he says also the sirus, and Ben Azai was also saying also the lashon, but not the sirus. The word says that the order is wrong. Ben Azai was third, Rebbe was second. If Ben Azai was saying af, then it should go on even the sirus, on what Rebbe said. Ihachi nikadmo de Ben Azai bereisha. So if this is correct, then Ben Azai shouldn't have been third, he should have been listed second. You should have the Tanakhama that tells us the Rosh Hashanah, the 24-25 that we had. And then along comes Ben Azai and says, I'm adding to that also the Lashon. And then third, you'd have Rebbe, and Rebbe comes along and says that I'm adding to that the Sirus, in addition to the Lashon, in addition to the 24-25 that the Tanakhama said, I'm adding onto that the Sirus. But that's not the order that we had. So how come our order was different? So the Gemara gives us an answer that we use in many places called Mishnah Rishona Lo Zaza Mimikoma. And that is, they did all this by heart. They had to do everything fully baal peh. And therefore, it was very hard to remember. So once something was codified in a certain way, even though it subsequently was changed, they still learned it and didn't move it from the original way that it was learned by heart. And then they would explain it orally, and they would understand it the way it was supposed to be understood. So what happened over here? Tana Shomel de Rebbe. This Tana heard the original Tanakhama saying his din of the Rosh Evarim, the 24 Evarim plus the brass. And then he heard that Rebbe said, Av HaSirus. Rebbe said also Sirus, which included also the Lashon, and that was a Kal v'Chomer Rebbe. Of course, the Lashon, the Chiddush is by the Sirus. So, Tana Shomel de Rebbe, and therefore Ukiva, and he set it up. First you have the Tanakhama, then you have Rebbe. He only subsequently heard Ushimol de Ben Azai afterwards, and therefore he learned it the third place, Vitani. We don't switch it around. We don't say, well, let's put it in the right order. No, once they learned it by heart in this order, so they kept it that way. But the understanding is that the Tanakhama tells us a 24-25, and then Ben Azai adds on to that the Lashon, and Rebbe adds on not only the 24-25 of the Tanakhama, not only the Lashon of Ben Azai, but also the din of Sirus of the testicles. So now we understand why this order is the way that it is. Now we'll continue discussing this concept of galui, what is considered internal, external, in regards to a number of dinim. One would be in regards to din of tumah, one would be in regards to din of tefillah, and the other one is the machlokas that we already alluded to in regards to hazah. So let's start off. Amar Ula Ula tells us, in fact, hakol modin b'lashon l'inyan tumah. Everybody agrees in regards to the din of tumah. If a zav, for example, were to go touch the tongue of a person, so that person would become tameh. And this is based upon the pasuk that we'll explain in a moment, but the Gemara tells us the Gali who ate Tumah Sheretz, because in regards to Tumah Sheretz or Tumah Zav or any type of Tumah, the tongue is considered part of the body, there would be metame a person. My time, where do we get this from? Because the pasuk tells us, b'chol asher yiga bo hazov, the pasuk tells us, this is how Rashi explains this, that whenever a zov touches you, v'yodov lo shotach b'mayim, and he didn't yet tovel his hands. Now, Rashi explains, why in the world would being tovel his hand do anything? He needs to have a full tahara process. Toveling his hand doesn't do anything. So it teaches us, Rashi says, that it's anything that lo shotach b'mayim, v'chibes b'godov, v'rochatz b'mayim, v'tomi ad ha'arev, comes to teach us what are the parameters of this din of the zov, which is what the pasuk is talking about, but the same thing would apply with other tumah, like a tumah sheretz. It has to touch something like the hands, just like the hands can be touched, so too has to be some other part of the body that can be touched, which includes the tongue. Hakomodim b'loshon, based upon this pasuk, my time, asher yiga ba'omer achman, it has to be something that can be touched over there, v'hainami bar nigihu. And therefore, the tongue is considered outside of the body, it's not considered a base has storm, hidden part of the body, and therefore touching the tongue would make somebody tamei hakomodim. Everybody agrees to this. If the zov or the sheretz touch the tongue and only the tongue, the person would become tamei. And in regards to tefillah, linyan tefillah, everybody agrees hakomodim kitomun domi, that the mikvah water doesn't have to go into the mouth in order for this person who is tamei to become tar from the mikvah. Now, as we'll see, the mouth has to be open, so the water potentially could come inside, but lav dafka, the water doesn't have to go inside. So in regards to tefillah, the tongue does not have to be immersed in the water. It's considered like a beis hastarim, an internal organ, which of course, when you go to the mikvah, your heart's not getting immersed, your liver's not getting immersed, so to your tongue doesn't have to get immersed. Kitomun domi, it is considered like it is a hidden organ, not golui. So in regards to tumah, it's golui. External. In regards to tefillah, it's internal. Why is that? My timer. In regards to tefillah, the pasuk says that we always have this pasuk, v'rochatz b'sor b'mayim arim achwana. And every time Tosus or the other Rishonim or the other Mefarshim al-Dav corrected, and it should really be v'rochatz b'mayim es kol b'soro. That's the right pasuk that it should be over here, and that means that ma b'soro me'abroi, just like your flesh, your muscles are on the outside, av kol me'abroi. Only something that is on the outside needs to go into the tefillah, and not something on the inside. So therefore, technically, while we keep the mouth open, we shouldn't be tightly pursed the lips, because then that would be a problem, but the water doesn't have to go into the mouth. Okay, so these are the two dinim. Everybody agrees. In regards to tumah, the tongue is external. In regards to tefillah, the tongue is internal. And then we have the machlokas in regards to the sprinkling on the tongue of the mechatas. Lo nechleku, the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is only in regards to the hazah. Lo nechleku elalin in hazah, Rebbe medani lo l'tumah. Rebbe compares it to tumah. And as we said, by regards to tumah, everybody agrees it's external. So Rebbe compares the din of hazah to the din of tumah. And the Rabban and the Chachamim medamu lo l'tefillah, they compare it to tefillah, which is considered internal. So therefore, that's what the machlokas is between Rebbe and the Chacham, what you compare it to. The obvious question is, why do they each compare it to what they compared it to? V'tavayu, v'aykro kamifligi. In both of them, Rebbe and the Chacham, both use the same pasuk, v'hizor hatar alatomi v'gomer, to go and teach us. Now, the whole pasuk is, v'hizor hatar alatomi v'yom ha'shlishi uv'yom ha'shvi, v'chitau b'yom ha'shvi, v'chides v'gadav v'ruchatz v'mayim v'toher bo'orev. So we only quote part of it. We only say v'izah atar al tomei v'gomer. But that whole pasuk is what we're having the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chacham for. Again, Rebbe compares the hazah to tumah, and just like tumah is considered external, so too the hazah is considered external, and it would work if the hazah went on the tongue, because Rebbe sabar when it says v'izah hatahar ala tomei b'yom hashlishi v'yom hashvi v'chita'ah. So Rebbe says that we make the comparison. It says v'izah hatar al hatomei. You have to go and place the mei hazah, the mei chatas, on something that could become tameh, such as the tongue. And therefore, the words over here, v'izah ha-tahar, ala tameh, so it must be on something that could become tameh. Whereas the Chachamim say, no. Chachamim say, Rabbanan Sabre, when it says at the end of the pasuk, v'chitav v'yom ha-shiyu, v'chibetz v'gadav v'rochatz b'mayim, it has to be compared to tefillah. And in regards to tefillah, it is not considered external, it's considered internal. So therefore, the Chachamim compare the hazah to tefillah, and Rebbe compares the hazah to tumah. Now, why did each one not choose the other opinion? Rabbanan, why didn't they say like Rebbe? Rabbanan, nami didmai l'tumah. Why didn't the Chachamim compare it to tumah, like Rebbe did? So the Gemara says, because the Chacham fell, Tahara mi Tahara havel yamela. When we're saying over here, v'chito, that makes it become tar. So they prefer to say something like tefillah, which makes it tar, to something over here, the hazah, that makes it tar. So therefore, they prefer to compare the two Tahara items rather than the Tommy item. No, that explains the Chachamim. Why didn't Rebbe hold like this? The Rebbe did my Tefillah. Why didn't Rebbe compare it to the Tefillah? So Gemara says, because Rebbe holds, there's the words V'chibas Bigodav in between that are a Hefsik. Hefsik or Inyan. So it interposed over here to tell us not to compare the two, and therefore you're only left over here with the first part, Vizor Atar Ala Tomei. So you have to do the Hazor on something that could become Tomei, something that is external, like the tongue. Okay. So now we just said a moment ago that even Rebbe agreed that in regards to Tefillah, the tongue is considered internal. So Vesava Rebbe, the Gemara now questions and says, Le'inyan Tefillah, Kitam Dami, does Rebbe really hold that the tongue is considered an internal organ? Then, how come, Omar Ravin, Omar Rav Ada, Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, Maisa B'shiv Shabbos Rebbe, all of these Amorim said, Ravin said the name of Rav Ada, said the name of Rav Yitzchak, that once there was a Maisa in the house of Rebbe, and Rebbe Paskin, that this woman, this Shifcha Kinanis, who went to the mikvah, she tovla, she went to be tovel herself, they all said she came out, and subsequently they saw that she still had a splinter in between her teeth. V'nimso etzem bein shineh, she had a bone stuck in between her teeth. And therefore, Rebbe made her go to the mikvah again. V'tzvicha Rebbe tvila acheres. Now, if you're telling me that inside the mouth is considered an internal organ, the tongue is considered an internal organ, so in between the teeth is also considered an internal organ, why did Rebbe say that she had to go be tovel a second time? Seems to be a kasha on Rebbe that, in fact, he doesn't hold that the inside of the mouth doesn't require tefillah. Maybe he holds that it is, in fact, requiring tefillah. So Gemara says, no. As I mentioned before, I alluded to this. He the bias mayim lo bo'inon, makom haroy lo bo'mayim bo'inon. You're right. The water technically doesn't have to be able to go in, but the mouth has to be open. And in this situation where there was a bone in between the teeth, so yes, the water doesn't have to go in between the teeth, but there has to be nothing preventing the water from going in between the teeth. And therefore, if the woman were to keep her mouth tightly closed, or if there's a bone in between her teeth, that paradoxically ruins it. Even though if there was no bone over there, or if her lips were not tightly closed, the water doesn't have to go in there. And this is a famous rule, Kidrabi Zera. Famous rule of Zera from the Gemara elsewhere. This is a Gemara in Menachos. This is a Gemara in many other places where it teaches us the concept of Bila. The Amar of Zera, Kol Aroy LeBila, Ein Bila Ma Keves Bo, Visha Ein Aroy LeBila, Bila Ma Keves Bo. Rashi explains this beautifully and shortly. The bottom three lines in the Rashi, in Dira Masuk of Zera, the Amar. The Gemara in Menachos tells us, Ein Mevi'in Mincha Shoshishim V'Echad Yisorin B'Kli Echad. When you have to go and add the oil to a flour offering, so you're not allowed to put more than 61 yisarons of flour into one kli, because the kim luhul rabbanon, the rabbis had a tradition that when you had 61 yisaron of flour, a certain measure of flour in one container in one kli, she'ein nivlal in yofa, you won't be able to mix the oil well into such a large amount of flour. So bishavu and biyachad, if you have them all there together, v'havinu, but we ask, big deal. So what if you don't? V'chi'ein nivlalim. My heavy. What would be the big deal, even if it doesn't get mixed in well? After all, thought not, not, because the halach is, we learned in the Mishnah, in lo bolal kosher. If, in fact, you didn't mix it at all, it still is good. So why are you telling me that if you have 60 yisarons, it can mix well, and therefore it's good? But if you have 61 yisarons, it can't mix well, and it's no good. Guess what? If you didn't mix it at all, it's still good. And there, Reb Zera tells us this famous rule. V'amar Reb Zera, Allah, Reb Zera said on that din, call her royal bila, as long as it's capable of having the bila of the mixing, so then ain bila ma keves bo. Then we don't care if you mix it or not. Again, l'chad chila, you should mix it, but if you didn't mix it, it's still kosher b'di'evit. So when you could have done the bila, even though you didn't, when there's 60 isarons or less, so therefore the bila, the mixing, was capable of being done, so even though you didn't mix it, it is kosher b'di'evit. Afil l'bol kosher, even if you didn't mix it at all, it's kosher. However, Bakosha ain't royal bila, but if you have 61 isronos over there and it's incapable of being mixed, in that situation, Kagon Shisha Viachad, Bila Makevasbo, then the bila, the mixing, is actually paradoxically a requirement. The royal bila bila, and this is the din that Rebbe said, you have to have the capability, the potential to go and mix it. The water had to have the capability of going in between the teeth, to have the capability of going in the mouth. And as long as the capability was there, so then even though it didn't go in, no problem. As long as the capability to mix the mincha was there, even though you didn't mix it, it's fine. But if you have so much flour there that you can't mix the mincha, or if you close the mouth tightly, or if you have some bone stuck in between the teeth so the water cannot get in there, so then if you can't do bila in the situation where she'ein aroy lebila, bila na keves bo, and that is the shita over here of Rebbe. We turn to Chafei Amud Beis. The Gemara continues with the discussion that we had earlier in the shiur with whether the removal of the testicles is considered, in fact, to be an external blemish or an internal blemish. The machlokes we have between the Tanakama and Rebbe as well, Ben Azai. Now, Kitanoi, we see in another brayse this machlokes as well. The pasuk tells us, Rechmon Litzlan Umoch, if the we'll see in a moment what this is talking about, whether it's talking about just the genital area or it's talking about specifically the gid or the testicles. So if they're Rachman Luslan crushed, or moch, because it means crushed even more, the nasuk means they're cut off, the chorus means they're cut up even more. Rashi goes through a little bit the explanation between the differences between them. So he says, for example, nasuk means biyad legamre, it's totally cut off. However, badayin tluyin bekis, but they're still inside the scrotal sac. Nasuk means have a tfei mikorus. It's even more than chorus, as the Gemara in Menachos tells us. Lahavi nosek achar chorus shechayiv. If you were to undergo this nosek after chorus, you'd still be chayiv for doing this emasculation. So alma nasuk have a tfei mikorus. The nasuk is even more than the chorus. In any event, that's all sorts of various types of damages. Rashi tells the same thing. Moch v'kosus at the beitzim, the min kartvei. It is more recognizable. So it's even a greater crushing. So the Tanakam over here says, kulam bebeitzim, all of these are referring to damage done to the beitzim, to the testicles. Moch, kosus, nosuk, and karus are all done to the testicles. Divri Rabbi Huda. He's the first opinion over here that this is referring to the testicles. But beitzim, the word says, v'lo bakid. This, in fact, is referring only to the beitzim and not to the gid. Certainly, if the gid has these blemishes as well, that would make an animal not kosher to be brought as a korban, or that would make a bechor to be a bamum. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elo kulon af bebeitzim divri Rabbi Huda, as opposed to another Tana who disagrees and said it's only by the gid that these damages apply. Rabbi Huda says, even to the beitzim, not only the gid, but even to the beitzim. Okay. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer Kul Begid. He says, no, he's the one who disagrees with Rabbi Huda. He says, no, these four damages, Moch, Kosus, Nosuk, and Karas, are only talking about damage to the gid, Kul Begid, and not to the beitzim. And then we have an in-between opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that Moch, the Kosus, those first two of the crushing and further crushing, so they apply not only to the gid, but also to the beitzim. But the last two, nasa v'karas, only apply to the gid. But gid in, however, beitzim low. And that's why this is also machlokas tanaim over here, as to what is the status over here of the emasculation of the beitzim. So we see again here, it's a machlokas tanaim, as well as the machlokas tanaim that we alluded to previously. Now we're going to the next Mishnah. We've been talking about various, in this parak, this beautiful first parak of Kiddushin, we've been talking about various types of kinyonim. So now we're going to talk about making a kinyon on an animal. We have large animals, behemah gasa, and we have small animals, they're called behemah daka. A large animal, an example of a behemah gasa would be like a cow, but it also includes horses, or camels, or donkeys, or large non-kosher animals, as well as kosher animals. And the behemah daka, the classical examples of them are a goat or a sheep. So the Mishnah starts off and tells us, Behemah Gasa Niknes B'Mesira, that the proper way to do a kinyan, to purchase some Behemah Gasa from someone else, is to do a kinyan known as Mesira, which is to give over, Rashi says, to give over the reins. Ba'aleh Mosrim Osol Lokeach B'Afsor, with the reins, O B'Sara, or with the hair. Kiditon La'el, like we learned earlier already on Da'al Beis, what is Mesira? So we'd explain it over there. But then Rashi tells us a very important idea. Rashi says, Avo Meshicha lo Mekanya. Rashi's opinion is that Mesira is a better kinyan than Meshicha. Meshicha is leading or pulling, whereas Mesira is the handing over the reins. And Rashi tells us that Mesira is a better kinyan, and that's what works for these large animals, but Meshicha would not work for the large animals. Why? It's not normal to go and lead an animal in this fashion. And therefore, Rashi's opinion is Mesira is a better kinyan than Meshicha. Tosus learns this entirely the opposite way. That's why there's not that much Gemara in this Omud. Tosus has a whole bunch of rayas over here as to why Tosus says, no, in fact, Meshicha is a better kinyan than Mesira. We're going to learn it nice and simple like Rashi, that Mesira is the better kinyan, and the large animals, Behemah Gasa, is only nicknamed with Mesira, but not with Meshicha. Vadaka, the small animals like the goats and the sheep, Bagba, you have to pick them up. Kinyan Agbar works all the time, even in the domain, in the rishus of the owner, the original owner of the animal. A Kinyan Agbar can work everywhere, and that's what you have to do in order to acquire, according to Divrei Ramei and Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakama is Ramei and Rabbi Eliezer, so they hold that the behemah daka, the smaller goats and sheep, they have to be literally picked up in order to make a kinyan on them. The larger animals, only with the Mesira, like Rashi says, but not with Meshicha. The Chacham disagree with Meir Elazar. The Chacham omrim Behema Daka Niknes M'Mashicha. They say that a Behema Daka can be Niknes with Mashicha. And according to Rashi, so that means certainly as well with Mesira. If you can do it with Mashicha, then certainly you can do it with Mesira. And that's the opinion of the Chachamim, that you don't have to do Hagbah on the small animals, but it's acceptable to do Mashicha or Mesira as well on the small animals. Now, Dorash Rav, Rav learned the following halacha in a place called Bikimichunya, in a city called Kimichunya. So he learned this halacha over there, which is different than our Mishnah. And in that city, he taught the following. He said, Behema Gasa, Niknes B'Mashicha. Over there, he said that not only is Mesira good, according to Rashi, but Mashicha would be good as well. So it's a much more cooler dikadin that Rav taught in the city of Kimichunya. Now, Shmuel heard this, and he said, did Rav change his mind? Shmuel went over to the Tamidim of Rav, and they asked, and Shmuel asked the Tamidim, Amalu, he said to them, Mi Amar Rav, did Rav change his opinion around Behema Gasa Niknes and Mashicha, like I heard that was said about Rav saying this in the city of Kimichunya? Did he really retract? Vanan, we learned the Mishnah, B'Mesira Tanan. So did Rav retract? Rav Nami Mesira Amar, and I also heard that Rav had learned the Mishnah like we did, B'Mesira. So Hodr Bey Mehahi, did Rav change his opinion around? And instead of passing like the Tana of a Mishnah, saying that Mesira, but not Mashicha, is good, he now passing like someone else that says Mashicha is good as well? So the Gemara says, yes, Rav in fact changed his position, because he now held not like the Tana of a Mishnah, but he held like the Tana of the Braisa. Hu d'amar ki hai Tana. He learned like the following Tana. Even though Rav could have his own opinion, we always say Rav, Tana hu apalik, but we don't like to do that unless we have to. So here, Shmuel asked him, if Rav changed his opinion, who is he going like? So he goes like the following Tana. This Tana says, the Tana, we learn the following Braisa, v'chachamim omrim zu v'zu, nicknames b'mashicha, both the Behema Gasa and the Behema Daka, both of them are able to be done with a kinyan of Mashicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zu Vizu Bagba. Rabbi Shimon says, which will lead us to an interesting question in a moment, he says that both of them, the Behema Daka, but even the Behema Gasa, you have to lift it up. You have to do a kinyan Hagba. So this Tana over here, the Tana Kama, is what Rav is holding like, that says that Zu Vizu, the Behema Gasa, or the Behema Daka, both of them can have a kinyan Mashicha, and certainly a kinyan Nusira, according to Rashi. And this is what Rav said, that he's now changing his opinion, not learning like the Tana of our Mishnah said, just Mesira, but not Mashicha, but like the Tana of the Braisa, the Chacham and the Braisa, that say both the Behema Gasa and the Behema Daka can both be acquired with the Kinyan Mashicha as well as the Kinyan Mesira. And now we're going to have the very interesting question, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zuba Zuba Akba, that you must lift up the animal. So we'll have the interesting scenario, how do you make a Kinyan on an elephant? How do you go pick up an elephant? So that's what the Gemara is now going to ask. Maskevla Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the following: Elamayata. If you're telling me, Rabbi Shimon, that you must do a kinyan hagbah, you have to lift up the animal. And as Rashi says, v'lo b'mesira, v'lo b'mashicha. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that no other kinyan will work. The only kinyan that works is a kinyan hagbah. So peel the Rabbi Shimon, but may yikne. How in the world is Rabbi Shimon ever going to transfer over an appeal? So you have an elephant that's owned by Reuven. He wants to sell it to Shimon. However, is Shimon going to go and acquire that elephant? He can't pick up the elephant. Even a baby elephant would be too much for him to pick up. So we're going to have several terutz in this very interesting, albeit somewhat unusual question. So first, we want to tell Zomalei Abaye. Abaye says, via kinyan chalipin. Yeah, you can't do Akbah on an elephant, but you can do a kinyan chalipin. As we've learned previously, kinyan chalipin works in all places. So that would be one suggestion that you make a kinyan chalipin. You say, well, you take the handkerchief, and I'll take the elephant. So I just have to give you the handkerchief, and that conveys the elephant into the other person's rishus. So that's a kinyan chalipin. Amalei Abaye, a kinyan chalipin, a kinyan sudar, that works. Alternatively, Abaye says, Inami b'socher es mekomo. Oh, we can make what's called a kinyan agav. So the elephant is standing on this place that belongs to me. I will sell you this place, and then agav the sale of this place, you're also acquiring whatever is on that place. Or theoretically, we've learned it before, it can even acquire something someplace else. So this is called a kinyan agav, along with this karka that I'm selling you, metaltalin can come along as well. So these are the two ways that Abaye says you can make a kinyan on an elephant. Rosera gives us another way. Rosera Omar, again, it doesn't say Omar Rosera, so it means Rosera is not necessarily disagreeing with Abaye, he's just giving us another answer. Rosera Omar, you know what you can do? Maybe our ball, Kalim, you go bring four utensils. The Tosfos is going to say that even if you hold like the opinion that it's one tefach is sufficient to go and make a kinyan, to lift it up. So here we're talking about that these kelim are not one tefach high. If you go like the opinion says you need three tefachim to lift it up, so it's no longer on the ground because of the principle of lavud, so then these kelim were less than three tefachim. In any event, Reb Zeira says, we're not doing a kinyan akba over here, but maybe arba kelim uminichim tachas raglov, you go put the four kelim underneath the elephant, and therefore those kelim represent the buyer's domain. So therefore, Reuven is selling the elephant to Shimon. Shimon puts his four kelim down there. Now the elephant's stepping on these four small containers, and now it's in Shimon's domain, and that's how you transfer the elephant, according to Rabbi Zeira. Not that you did a kinyan agba, which we'll see is another suggestion we'll have in a moment, but via these kelim being in the buyer's domain, so that's how Rabbi Zeira said it works. What we see from here, the Gemara wants to tell us now, Shamas Vinah, from the fact that Rabbi Zeira says that such a kinyan works, maybe we want to suggest the answer to a question that we have elsewhere. Do we say that the kelav shalokeach b'shus mocher are konel lokeach or not? So this is a question that we want to now bring an answer to. That the kelim of the purchaser in the rishus of the seller, the question is, do they or do they not have the ability to acquire? So let us bring from over here, the elephant is in the domain of the seller. But by putting the buyer's kelim over there, even though it's still in the domain of the seller, Rav Zeira said it works. So let us answer the question. Kelav shalokeach, the kelim of the buyer, birushus mocher, in the domain of the seller, in fact, kona lokeach, make a valid kinyan. And we can answer that question. Where it says, no, lav bafka. Who says we're talking about that this is in the domain of the seller? Maybe hachamayaskin and besinta. We're talking over here, it's in the rishus harabim, but not in a place in the rishus harabim where you can't make a kinyan, but it's in the side of the rishus harabim. As Rashi says, besinta zavis, it's like a corner. She ate the rishus harabim, it's technically in the rishus harabim, next to the rishus harabim. They ain't a low rishus harabim, below rishus hayachid. It doesn't have the status of rishus harabim, and it doesn't have the status of being owned by the seller as a rishus hayachid. And therefore, you can make a kinyan in a simta. So this is a perfectly valid way to go make the kinyan according to Rezera, without having to answer the question of Kalev Shalokeach, Rishus Mocher, is it Kana Lokeach or not Kana Lokeach? Finally, we'll conclude by turning to Chavov Amud Aleph, where the Gemara gives us a fourth and final teretz. We have the two from Abaye, we have the one from Rezera, and that is by placing where the elephant will step, Bechavile Zimoros. Rashi explains that here we're talking about Hagivoim in Arich Shlosh Tvachim. They are raised above the ground three Tvachim. And therefore, when the elephant steps up on this, umolichem aleihem or maleu aleihem, the hagbah shlosha tefachim hagbahi. This is a kinyan hagbah. The nafkalei mitaros lavud, because it's no longer within three tefachim of the ground. As the point that Tosafot says, even according to Binyan, says it's within one tefach of the ground. So you put it there that it's enough considered above the ground that this is a valid kinyan hagbah. And this is the fourth and final way, in case any of you are having this problem, how you could go and acquire and peel an elephant. But the same idea works with any other large metalplin, how you can go make such a kinyan. And this would be an example of a kinyan hagbah working here as well, in addition to Rezera's teretz or the two terutzim of Abaye. This is a great breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.